But I want to start my message this morning by giving you a short recap from Dale's message last week. I want to tell you what we already know about the story in the book of Ruth. Now, at this point, most of the information we have relates to a woman named Naomi. Naomi was an Israelite woman who was married to an Israelite man, and together they had two sons. They lived in Bethlehem, which was a small town in Judah. But a severe famine over the land caused them to move their family to Moab. Now, Moab was an enemy of Judah, but at this particular time, there was peace between them. And we also need to point out that the Moabites worshiped different gods than the Israelites. They did not worship the God of Israel. Now, while in Moab, several major events occurred in Naomi's life. First, her husband died. Second, her two sons got married, but they did not marry Israelite women. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, who I constantly want to call Oprah, Orpah, and one named Ruth. Now, this family makeup of Naomi, her two sons, the two wives, this existed for about 10 years until, unfortunately, both of Naomi's sons died. And neither of their wives, Naomi's daughters-in-law, had any children. We then saw that the famine in Judah ended, and Naomi made a decision to move her and her two daughters-in-law back to Judah because God finally provided relief for his people. Next, we jump to the end of chapter 1, and we discovered that Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem without Orpah. We also discovered that Naomi was very bitter and very angry with God because of the tragedies that happened in her life. The verse that sums it up for me is verse 21, when Naomi says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." Needless to say, Naomi was depressed. She was hopeless. She was defeated. And her relationship with God was severely broken. Now, I just want to say that the beginning of the book of Ruth is dark. It's sad. It's filled with sorrow. But starting today, we will begin to see a light at the end of the tunnel for Ruth and Naomi. As we move through this story over the next 6 weeks, things will slowly improve for them. And this morning, we're going to stay in chapter 1. We're going to cover the section we didn't cover last week. We are going to discover what happened to these women on their trip from Moab back to Judah. We're also going to see a glimmer of hope. We're going to see a small light starting to shine in the life of Naomi. Our passage this morning comes from Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 to 18. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 to 18. It's in your insert that came in your bulletin. There's a Bible in front of you. If you have your Bible app on your phone, feel free to use that as well. Again, Ruth 1, 8 to 18. "But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage.' Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. 'No,' they said, 'we want to go with you to your people.' But Naomi replied, 'Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me.' And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. 'Look,' Naomi said to her, 'your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die. and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. All right, first, I need to give you some background information to help you better understand why Naomi is saying the things that she is saying. The Israelites lived under God's law, and one of those laws was called the levirate marriage. The details of that law can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 10. However, verses 5 and 6 are the only ones that apply this morning, so we're going to read them. I'll put them on the screen for you. It's Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. "If two brothers are living together on the same property, and one of them dies without a son, his widow may not be married to anyone from outside of the family. Instead, her husband's brother should marry her and have intercourse with her to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law. The first son she bears to him will be considered the son of the dead brother, so that his name will not be forgotten in Israel." Sounds like a strange law, especially if we would apply it in 2020. But back then, this was a normal law to follow. Now, let's see how this law affects the life of Naomi. Let's see how this law affects her conversations with her two daughters-in-law. I will call it the levirate marriage dilemma. Despite her bitterness towards God and her anger toward God, Naomi still wants to follow his law, especially as she is moving back to Judah. However, in this case, both of her sons are dead, and neither Ruth nor Orpah have children. There is no brother left to carry on the other brother's name. A quick side note, we also have to assume that Naomi's husband has no brother, because if he had a brother, we would be reading about it now. Naomi's story would have looked much different because that brother would have had to marry her. That would have given her something to look forward to on her return to Judah, but unfortunately, that is not the case. So let's get back to these three women. The only way Naomi can fulfill the law of levirate marriage is to marry another Israelite man when she gets back to Bethlehem. Then she needs to have children with that man, hoping that some of them are boys. Then those boys have to achieve an age worthy of marriage, and then those boys would have to marry Ruth and Orpah. You can probably figure out now why that is highly unlikely to happen. First, there are reasons. First, Naomi mentions in verse 12 that she is too old to marry again, which means that she is past the age of childbearing. You need to know that male children were very important in the Israelite culture. Male children not only carried the father's name, they also carried the family's inheritance, the family's tribal status, the family's legacy within the history of God's people. So, the chances that an Israelite man would marry a woman who can no longer have children would be very slim. Second, if Naomi did find another man to marry, and even if she could have children, she would have to give birth to at least two boys. And third, once those boys were old enough to marry, Ruth and Orpah would be that much older. They might be past the age of childbearing, so there might be a chance that those boys would refuse to marry them. The stipulations regarding that refusal are found in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 7 to 10, which we are not reading today. So, with those three reasons in mind, we can see why Naomi said in verses 8 and 9, "Go back to your mother's homes. And may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Now, even though she said that, they refused to leave, which is why she went into greater detail about the Israelite law of levirate marriage. She basically said to them, "Listen, I am old, and I have lived my life. You are young, and you have a bright future ahead of you. I don't want to be the one that holds you back from that. Your Moabites do not have the same laws as my Israelites. You can go back home and you can marry any man you want. You can have a happy life. You can have children. If you stay with me, you will not have that life. Please go back to Moab and be with your families. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but have you ever been where Naomi's been? Have you ever been in what I would call a season of sorrow? Have you ever been in such a dark place in your life that you just wanted to be left alone? Nobody could help you. No words could fix you. And you had no interest to be around people. You had no interest in talking to people. You had no interest in talking to God. You just wanted to be left alone to your own sorrow. I've been there. When I was in my deepest part of my drug addiction, I wanted to be alone. If I did go somewhere, I couldn't wait to get home and be by myself. If my friends asked me to hang out, I would make excuses as to why I couldn't. If there was a family gathering, I would go for a few hours, and I would get home as soon as I possibly could. Now, I did a pretty good job of hiding what was really going on in my life. But even if people did know what was going on, it wouldn't have mattered, because I didn't want their help. It sounds so strange to talk about it now, because it was almost 10 years ago at this point. But I knew I had a problem. I knew that my life was not in a good place. But I also didn't want to put forth the effort to do anything about it. It's crazy because it becomes such a big part of your life that you become so fearful to do anything about it. Your life becomes overcome with fear, and depression actually becomes your comfort. You get used to it. That's a really dark and tough place to be. Some people take their own lives in those kinds of spaces. And I'd be lying if I said that I never thought about it. But what's ironic about tragedies is that tragedies can put you in those spaces, but tragedies can also bring you out of those spaces. And it took what I considered to be a tragedy in my life to wake me up. It took me getting arrested and fired from my job to wake me up. In other words, it took a major turning point in my life to get me out of the darkness, to open my eyes to the fact that I cannot do this alone, that I do need a small group, that I do need people around me to care for me and love me and be there for me. And guess what? Those people were around me the entire time. I just chose not to see them. And I wanted nothing to do with God either, just like Naomi. Naomi was in this exact space that I just described. Listen to what she says in verse 13. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. She's saying, the Lord is against me, not you two. Even though I lost my sons and you lost your husbands, it's my fault. It's my God's fault. It's not your God's fault. Go back to your homes, and may your gods bless you and prosper you. Because my God is only going to keep you down. My God is only going to bring you pain, just like he has for me. You deserve better than that. So again, please go back to your families in Moab. This was a major turning point for Naomi, for Ruth, and Orpah. It was a major turning point for Ruth and Orpah because they had a tough decision to make here. If you remember last week, Dale mentioned that we would discover turning points in this sermon series as we studied through the book of Ruth. Well, the first turning point was the decision by Naomi's husband to move his family from Judah to Moab that we learned about last week. That was a major turning point for Naomi because she was leaving her home. She was leaving a place where she was comfortable and she was moving to an area that was completely foreign to her. This is the second turning point. In this story, Naomi feels like she has lost everything and is now making a decision to return to Judah by herself, without her daughters-in-law, without her family. Now, I want to take a quick moment to talk about turning points. If you have made a decision in your life to make a major change, or if you have gone through a tragic event that was out of your control, there are going to be emotions involved. If you are 0% sure or 100% sure about your future, there are going to be natural human reactions involved. Grief, sadness, cold feet, depression, anxiety, fear, and many more emotions that we can list off. And we see it here in verse 9. Naomi said, or it says, then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. This was a very emotional time for these women. They have lived every day of their lives with each other for the past 10 years. All of them have lost the same loved ones. And now they are about to go their separate ways, and maybe will never see each other again. I think the magnitude of this moment was too much for Ruth and Orpah to handle, for Naomi to handle. The thought of walking away from Naomi was devastating to them. They said, this isn't over yet. We are not leaving you in this moment. We want to go with you to be with your people. It is not time for us to go our separate ways yet. But Naomi persisted, and she presented a more convincing case of why they should go back, using this law of levirate marriage as a reason. And this created the major turning point for Ruth and Orpah. Now, Orpah felt that Naomi was right. She listened to Naomi, and she made the decision to return home. And we have never seen her name mentioned in any historical record since. However, Ruth was not convinced because she loved Naomi too much. And what happened? They cried together some more. I know for a fact that every woman in here can relate to this part of the story. And I know that every man in here can too. We just don't want to admit it. We have cried because of turning points in our lives. I know I have because I'm an emotional dude. I think most of you have figured that out by now. I have cried up here on this stage before. So Ruth sees Orpah walk away, but she cannot bring herself to do the same. Now, I don't want to downplay Naomi's influence on Orpah, but my guess is that Naomi had a significant impact on Ruth over the 10 years that they were together. Ruth seems to love this woman as her own mother. My guess is that she sees her as her mother. Sometimes people we are not related to have a bigger impact on us than our own families. And that is not to imply any disrespect to our own families. That's just how life goes sometimes. And in my opinion, this is the case for Ruth. And I formed that opinion based on her statement to Naomi, which can really be looked at as a covenant. It is that strong of a statement. It is that strong of a promise. Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Those powerful words are filled with loyalty, commitment, promise, sincerity, and unconditional love. Naomi is trying to tell Ruth, there is nothing here for you. All I'm going to do is hold you back. I am broken. I am hopeless. I am depressed. God has taken everything away from me. You deserve better than anything I have to offer. So please go back to your family. Meet a nice man. Have kids. Have a great life, because none of these things are going to happen if you stay with me. And what was Ruth's response? I don't care. I don't care about those things. I'm not going to let you go through this alone. I don't care what you think about your life right now. I know that your life still has value, and I am not going to leave you. We are going to get through this together. And if anything other than death ever separates us, let God punish me as severely as he wants. I will take it. I don't care about those things. I love you, and I want to be with you. That is love. Unconditional, selfless, powerful love. And that's the glimmer of hope for Naomi that I mentioned earlier. That's the small light that is going to start to shine in her life. She was empty and powerless. But even if it was just a small dose, Ruth gave her hope. And I think God had something to do with it. I know God had something to do with it. See, over a period of 10 years, Ruth developed a deep love, compassion, and loyalty for Naomi. But she also developed a love and respect for the one true God as well. During their time together, Naomi must have shown Ruth the true nature and character of God. She must have shown Ruth that her Moabite gods, the Moabite gods she grew up with, were not real. She must have shown God, the God of Israel, to Ruth in such a meaningful way that Ruth said, "Your people will be my people and your God will be my God." And the major piece of evidence that proves that Ruth knew our Lord was the love that she poured out on Naomi. Because this is the same love that God has for us. This is the same love that God calls us to have for others. It's selfless, it's unconditional, it's powerful, it can be life-changing. It's filled with hope. And over the next 5 weeks, we are going to see the impact that it had on Naomi. It not only gave her hope, but it changed the course of her life forever. And the decision to stay, we will see, changed the course of Ruth's life forever as well. Their legacy changed in that moment. So for Christians, there is so much we can learn in the book of Ruth. It's filled with examples of how we should act, of how we should treat each other. It's also filled with the positive results that come from those acts of love. The book of Ruth can have a tremendous influence on us, especially within the Christian community, especially within the four walls of Trinity Church, within our Trinity Church family. There is so much unnecessary division among Christians in this world. Many of us talk about society and its negative effects on the church. But the church has just as much of a negative effect on itself because of the division that we see. There's a reason why one of our core values at Trinity is unity over personal preference. The story of Ruth supports that core value. It shows what can happen when we stay united with each other, when we care for each other, when we're there for each other. Lives can change. Unity and love are such powerful weapons against the sin of this world, against sadness, against depression, against tragedy. Peter says this about love in 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8. "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in all your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins." Now, before I close, I want to say one more thing. I am sure Naomi showed this type of love to Ruth at one point in her life, too. It's probably why they were so close. And I say that because you can't apply this story to every single person in every situation in your life. There are specific reasons why Ruth made the decision to stay with Naomi. One reason was Naomi never took advantage of Ruth. She wanted Ruth to leave because she felt that it was the best thing for Ruth. It may have seemed selfish, but she was looking out for the best interests of Ruth. She loved Ruth just as much as Ruth loved her. But she was so broken at that moment in time that she was unable to express it. She was so depressed and broken, she was unable to express it. However, Naomi never took Ruth's love for granted, and she never used it for her own personal gain. I say that because love can be tricky. We must be careful with love. We must be careful with the people that we choose to love. Sometimes people will take advantage of your love. Use discernment with the people that you choose to love in your life. Sometimes you have to love people from afar. Sometimes you have to love people up close. Love comes in all different shapes and forms, but we are still called to love each other. And finally, love is a choice. Love is a choice. In order to truly love someone, you must make an intentional choice to love them. So, if you choose to unconditionally and selflessly love someone else in your life, follow the example of Ruth, because she got it right. The love Ruth showed to Naomi is the type of love that changes lives. It's the type of love that overcomes tragedy. It's the type of love that brings light into the darkness. It's the type of love that gives hope to the hopeless. It's the type of love that brings healing to the broken. It's the type of love that changes eternities, because it's the same type of love that made God decide to send his son to earth to die on a cross for our sins. That kind of love that we are called to have for each other. Let's always strive for that type of love in our lives. Amen.